Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Mem Vov. We should mention that during our last year, actually even at the beginning of our last year, we made reference to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that was found in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, where someone who was found to be sleeping at the entrance of Shabbos and woke up, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that he gets 2,000 amos all around. The Gemara on our previous year debated the issue of, does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hold a general halacha of Cheftzei Hefger Koinen Shvisa, or is his halacha limited to simply a person that fell asleep and woke up on Shabbos because of the Sevara that had he been awake, he would have been Koinen Shvisa. Therefore, even when he is sleeping, he is Koinen Shvisa. We saw in the sugya on Daf Mem Hey that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is of a general opinion that Chetzei Hefger Koinen Shvisa. We continue now. Omar Rav Yankov Bar Idi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We've double underlined the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi because there are two statements of his and we want to highlight them, and the Gemara will debate or ask, why do I need these two statements? So he says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, what we know is for sure that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri spoke about the person who was sleeping and woke up. He gets 2,000 amos all around, that he's Koinei Shvisa. Omar le Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yankov Bar Idi. Rabbi Zeira turns to Rabbi Yankov Bar Idi, who's the one that quoted Rabbi Yochanan ben Levi, and Rabbi Zeira asks him, did you hear this from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi explicitly, that we rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or is it something that was derived from some comment made by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, as opposed to a beferush, an explicit statement? Omar Lei, so Rav Yankov Bar Idi says, Beferush Shmi'ali, I heard it explicitly that we rule like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Gemara asks, my klola, what was the underlying question of Rabbi Zeira? In other words, there was apparently some other statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from which one might have derived that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, without having said so explicitly. So the Gemara is asking, what is that other statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi that could have led one to think that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Answer, the Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, on another occasion, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi had said, Halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv. The halacha follows the lenient one in a controversy concerning Eruv, and the laws of Eruv involve the laws of Tumin. When we speak about an Eruv, we talk about an Eruv Tumen. So there is a rule that Rabbi Shimon Levi has been known to say that we follow the ways of the lenient opinion. Now, from that, one certainly could have derived that we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What does that mean? Well, in the Mishnah Daf Mem Dalid, we saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri arguing with the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, a person who fell asleep and woke up on Shabbos, he is restricted to 4 amos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri gives you much more. He gives him 2,000 amos all around. So, once you tell me that the halacha is like the lenient one, so naturally I would conclude that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That having been said, there really are two statements now. This of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. One, that we follow the Mako, and two, that we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What do I need these two statements for, though? V'tarti lomali. Why do I need... It seems to be redundant. Omer Rabbi Zera, Tzrichi. Rabbi Zera, interestingly, he was the one that asked, was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's statement explicit about halacha like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or was it something derived? Well, Rabbi Zera himself points out that I need to have both statements. The Ashmin halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, had I had just that statement, Have Amina, I would have thought that we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri across the boards, Bain Lakula Ubain Lachumra. Now, Lakula means where he is lenient, and Lachumra would mean where he is strict. So let's ask ourselves a question. Where is he lenient? Well, that's kind of obvious. We just said that in the case of the sleeping person, he is the lenient opinion. Because according to the Rabbanan, under those circumstances, the sleeping person would not be allowed to leave his four amos, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri gives him 2,000 amos all around. Now, what about Lechumra? How can Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri be Lechumra? The answer to that is, based on what we learned in our previous shiur, that is, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Chetzei Hefker Kinin Shvisa. That would mean an article, when it comes to kelim, as opposed to a person, when it comes to vessels, the vessel that's unowned, chetzei hefker, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, acquire their own 2,000 amos. That would mean that if you, the traveler, came upon a vessel that's hefker, and you, the traveler, got to this point through an eruv tchumen, enabling you to reach this point from a point 4,000 amos away, because you laid an eruv tchumen before Yom Tov. If you hold chetzei hefker kinin shvisa, you would not be allowed to bring the vessel that you just found back to your starting point. However, if you hold that chetzei hefker are not kinin shvisa, therefore, it would be like the legal status of the vessel would be like the one that found it. And he would be able to take the vessel back to his starting point. So our Gemara is pointing out that had I just had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, then I would have thought we follow him across the boards, whether the result is a leniency, in the case of the sleeping person, that's the case, and whether it's a case of stringency, like is the case in the vessel that was found. Komash Malon, therefore I need the second teaching of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel Beiruv, that we follow the lenient opinion when a controversy arises in the realm of Eruv. And what that means is that I follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri only in the case of the sleeping person. But with regard to the vessels, then I don't follow his opinion. Question: V'leimo halacha kedivrei hamekel be'eruv, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri lomali. So then say just this rule, namely the second teaching of Rabbi Shmuel Levi that we have listed before as number two. Just state that without stating halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. At this point, the Gemara introduces a series of answers, and with our markings, we are going to demonstrate where the answers appear. You see the bow tie here, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh. The mivneh, the structural note reads, Shalosh tshuvos la she'ela. There are three answers to the question. Acharei she'poiskim da'alocha kedivrei ha'mekel be'eruv, lama tzarch livsuk halocha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. After telling me that we follow the lenient opinion with regard to Eruv and Tumin, what value do I gain by teaching halocha like the halocha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? So you see, the first bow tie is here. you'll notice, and we have in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, an aleph with also a note that Beis is on Omid Beis. You don't see it immediately. You have to flip over or scroll ahead to Omid Beis. At the top line is the second answer. And several lines down from there, you just skim down, and you'll see Gimel. So you have a layout of the sukkah. We can point out that very shortly, a very, very long bracketed section will appear. The brackets that appear three lines from now, you can see the length of the brackets just by looking at the bracket length indicator, the dash dotted vertical line, taking you to the bottom of the Omid. The reason for this is simply to show that once we give you the answer to the question, we call it Bowtie Aleph, in order to maintain the connection between these answers or the continuity of answers, we advise at least initially skipping this bracketed section, and you'll see at the top of Omid Beis the second answer. And what's very interesting to note, and in Gemara markings we like to point this out from time to time, how Rashi is sensitive to this structural phenomenon. Because if you look at Rashi at the top of Omid Beis, he says, Hochi Garcina, Rav Papa Amar Itzterich, Uli'el Koi, the Rav Papa comment at the top of Omid Beis is a throwback to that which was earlier under Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It's Durich Leil Lameimar Lochik Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's a throwback to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and the necessity for him to say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Omar halacha k'divrei Mekel Eruv, even though he already said that we follow the Mekel when it comes to Eruv. Notice how Rashi is structure sensitive, because if you were just to learn the Gemara without the Rashi, one would think that maybe Rav Papa's Itzdrich is a comment made to the point most recently made in the Gemara at the bottom of Mem Vav Amud Aleph, when that is a mistake. Rav Papa is a throwback to the original question of what do I need Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi after saying Halachic Divrei HaMekel, does he have to say Halachic Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri as well? So now that we demonstrated the structural aspect of the sukkah, now the Gemara. We go to the Bowtie. The question, once again, is, after telling me what would seem to be a sufficient rule, halacha k'divrei HaMekel Beiruv, why does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi have to tell me also halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Gemara answers, itzderich, I need it. Sa'kodai techamino hanimili, yochid b'mokom yochid, v'rabim b'mokom rabim. That when do I follow the lenient one when it comes to Eruv? That's when you're dealing with a controversy of equals. Single opinion versus a single opinion, or a group opinion. A rabbim is multiple opinions that hold a particular approach. So we have a rabbim versus a rabbim, a group against a group. So then the rule says, follow the lenient opinion. Avol, the Gemara goes on, Avol yochid b'mokim rabim emolo. But in a case where it's a singular opinion against a majority opinion, I would think that we don't follow the singular opinion, even if he happens to be the lenient one. Therefore, I need Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi to say we follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though he is a singular opinion in the case of the sleeping individual, against the rabbim, the majority opinion saying that the sleeping person gets only 4 amos. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi tells me that even though it's a yochid against a rabbim, we will follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because in this instance, he happens to be the mekel. As we said earlier, you can see a bracketed section, and we already mentioned we have a starred note on the side that reads Sograyim Yuodim Kedei Lishma Retzef Hatshuvos Shesumnu with the bow tie. The purpose of the brackets is to maintain a continuity of the answers that were noted with the bow tie. So, as we said, if you were to skip from this point till the end of the brackets, that would take you to the top of Omid Beis, where Rav Papa Omar Itzdurich, I need the second teaching of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and he goes on to explain why. But now that the structure is clear, let us continue with the Gemara straight into the bracketed section. Omar le Rava la Abaye. Michti, Eruvin derabbanan. The realm of Eruvin is a realm of rabbinic teaching. Mali yochid b'mokoyim yochidu, mali yochid b'mokoyim rabim. Rava seems to be of the opinion that since it's rabbinic, the fact that someone represents a minority opinion shouldn't be reason for thinking that it has any less value. That's Rava's approach. Rava's suggesting that when it comes to Torah level halacha, so then we would have to factor in or consider the fact that you have a minority opinion, a singular opinion against a majority. But in the realm of rabbinic rulings, what difference does it make? At this point, we have a very long question. In fact, the structure of the Gemara, you can see we have diamonds here. They demonstrate in the diamonds you can see ubedu rabbanan lo shani, and again the same thing will happen in the next diamond. The point is, from Rav Papa's standpoint, whose name is underlined now, and from Rav Mesharshia, both of them, Rav Papa and Rav Mesharshia, direct their questions against Rava. Meaning, how can you, Rava, say that since it's rabbinic, though no difference should be made between a machlokis of rabbim versus rabbim and yochid versus rabbim? In these two sections, we will show you that even in the realm of derabbanan, there is reason for making a distinction. There is reason for thinking that a minority opinion has less halachic value, if you will, if you can say things like that, but is of lesser, let's say, consideration than a majority opinion, even in the realm of rabbinic rulings. And as you can see with the markings, the Gemara leaves you off with this question. It's coming from both Rav Papa and Rav Mesharshia that when you're dealing with rabbinic realm as well, there's a difference between a yochid opinion versus a rabbim opinion. So let's see how they raise their questions. Amale Rav Papa Lerova. And in the realm of rabbinic law, do we not make a distinction? We have the following Tanaic source. But before we learn the Tanaic source, a word of background is necessary. The realm deals with the laws of a nida, of a woman who has her monthly female blood cycle, and that involves a great area of halachic concern, the details of which would be way beyond the purview of our Gemara markings daf yomi shiur. But in general, there is an approach that says that when a woman sees a blood flow, the blood flow, even though it may appear at any given time, the woman's tuma might already have been present even before the blood comes out of her body and during her monthly cycle. As a result of this concern and of the woman having been tome already, there's a concept of that she becomes tome when the dam is becheder hachitzon, when it's in the outer location right before exit from the body. So we don't know when that happens. So we say that a woman who experiences a blood flow, there's a retroactive tuma of possibly 24 hours, that anything she might have handled that needs to be maintained in Torah will be ruined if she handled truma or kachim or other things. Again, it's a very broad area of halacha. We're not going to get into the details. We want to simply communicate the idea that a woman, when she has a blood flow, there is a concept of retroactive tuma. And why is that? Because the blood that she's seeing now, it may have started earlier. However, there is a situation of a woman or women that you don't have to suspect that she experienced a blood flow earlier, that rather this is the first appearance of the blood and that there is no reason for retroactive tumah. Who is included in this category of women concerning whom you don't have to concern yourself with retroactive tumah? That itself is a machloikis. So with that brief introduction in mind, let's continue in the source. V'hotnan, we have a source, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Kol Isha She'ovru Oleo Sholosh Oinois Dayo Shaita. Any woman, even a young woman as opposed to an elderly woman, even a young woman who experienced three Oinos. Three Oinos are three periods of 30 days. The woman's cycle is generally assumed to be a blood appearance, a blood flow every 30 days. So if three periods of 30 days was called Shalosh Onos, you could say 90 days goes by, and a woman doesn't experience a blood flow, we will then say Dayo Shaito. Dayo Shaito means that it's enough that we are metamaher from the point she sees the blood and not suspect that there had been a blood appearance 24 hours earlier. Vitanya, Maisiv also Rebbe, Kerebbe Eliezer. There was an incident where Rebbe ruled like Rebbe Eliezer, meaning he, Rebbe, ruled that any given woman, even a young woman, that happened to have three months of no blood sighting, that the items she handled when the blood eventually appeared, let's say 90 days later, so we say that there is no retroactive tumah concerning that particular woman vis-a-vis that day. In other words, if at 10 in the morning a woman for the first time after 3 months had seen blood, we say that she is metame things only from 10 in the morning onwards and not anything retroactive back 24 hours from that 10 a.m. sighting. Well, Rebbe ruled like Rebbe Eliezer regarding some young woman. La'achar shenizkar, after Rebbe reminded himself, we're not saying what he reminded himself of, but all we're saying after Rebbe came to, so to speak, Omar, Rebbe said, Kedai hu Rebbe Eliezer lismoy cholov b'shas hadchak. Rebbe Eliezer is a great man, and he's someone worth relying on when you have a pressing circumstance. Now, a pressing circumstance might be something like, let's say there are years of famine. Very little food is in supply. And if you would rule retroactive tumah, that would mean that certain holy food items that she may have handled will have to be destroyed. And since there's a very limited food supply because of years of famine, so we want to preserve as much food available. So Rebbe says, being that we are b'shas hadchak, there's a famine going on, and I ruled like Rebbe Eliezer, which in this case says no retroactive 24-hour tumah for this woman who experienced three onos, three times 30 of no blood sighting, so be it. Now the Gemara asks, "My lachar shenizkar." What does it mean that when Rebbe reminded himself? What did he remind himself of? He lemo, and here we this appears in stages. So we have the special double underline sign with the dots in it to show you the stage phenomenon of analyzing what is it that Rebbe recounted. So stage one. That Rebbe recounted that the halacha is not like Rebbe Eliezer, but only like the Rabbanon, which would mean that there is retroactive tumah. So b'shas hadchak hechi ovid kavosei. Just because of pressing circumstances, how could he rule like an opinion that's not accepted? Elo, rather, what's the case? There was never an explicit ruling to follow one or the other. La'achar shenizkar, Delav yochid poligole elorabim pligiole. But what did he remind himself of? He reminded himself that the shita that I paskin like, namely Rebbe Eliezer, is a shita that is not argued upon just by a private or another single opinion, but rather it's a shita that's challenged by a majority. So what did Rebbe remind himself of? He reminded himself, ooh, I ruled like a yochid opinion, like a singular opinion, when in fact there's a majority opinion that rules stringently otherwise. So Omar then, Rebbe reacted, Kedai hu Rebbe Lezer lismoich olov b'shas hadchak, being that it's pressing circumstances, so you can rely on that opinion. But what do we see over here? We see that, let us say, Rebbe had not forgotten, but he had been aware all the time that it's a singular opinion challenged by a majority opinion, so Rebbe would not have ruled like Rebbe Eliezer. And this whole area of law, of retroactive Tumah, is rabbinic. So we see from here that even though we're in a rabbinic realm, we do consider the fact that a minority opinion going up against a majority opinion is not something that one would follow. Counter to Rava, Omar Rav Misharshia LaRava, and then the second question posed to Rava. So Rav Misharshia asks on Rava, the Amri Law Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok LaRava. Another version has Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok challenging Rava. Uber the Rabbanon Lo Shani Bein Yochid B'Mokum Yochid Bein Yochid B'Mokum Rabim. And when it comes to rabbinic areas of law, do we not make a distinction between a yochid challenged by a yochid versus a yochid challenged by a rabbim? The Ha Tanya. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the realm of mourning. And in the realm of mourning, you're dealing with rabbinic law. This describes a person that found out about the loss of a close relative, a relative concerning one that one would have to, upon their demise, one would have to observe the laws of Shiva and the laws of Shloshim, 7 days of mourning, plus an additional 30 days of lighter mourning expressions. The source reads, V'ha Tanya, Shmua Kroiva Neheges Shiva Ushloshim, Rechoika Eino Neheges Ela Yoim Echad. A shmua is the hearing of the death of a close relative. If it's krova, means you hear it within 30 days of the individual's death. And rechoka would mean you hear about it for the first time after 30 days of a person's death. So this source tells us that a shmua krova, you have to observe the rules of Shiva and the rules of Shloshim. Rechoka, when a person hears about the death of a close relative in a rechoka fashion, meaning a significant amount of time passed since the person actually died, so then you are expected to observe only 1 day of mourning. The A Zohi Krova Vezohi Rechoka. What is meant by krova and what is meant by rechoka? It's, even though we already explained it, besof shloshim equals krova, lachas shloshim equals rechoka. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Within 30 days of the person's death, you hear about it. So then, it has a status of a shmua krova. If hearing about the person's demise after 30 days has lapsed, then it has the status of a shmua rechoka. That's Rabbi Akiva's approach. V'chachomim omrim, achas shmua kroiva v'achas shmua rechoika noheges shivo shloshim. The chachom disagree and say, whenever you hear about the relative's death, whether it's within 30 days or after 30 days, you must observe the 7 and 30 days of mourning. V'omar rabo barbachana omar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol mokom shata motzei yochid mekev rabim achmirin. Whenever you see a controversy where a single opinion is lenient and a majority opinion is machmir, halacha kedivrei hamachmirin hamerubin, one will follow the opinion of the majority that are strict. Chutz mizu, with the exception of this case, the case of the mourning, shafal pish Rabbi Akiva make of a chomim machmirin, even though Rabbi Akiva is the opinion of leniency and the Chachomim, who are the majority, are the opinion of stringency. Halacha kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. The halacha will follow Rabbi Akiva in his lenient ruling. V'sovar lo, that means Rabbi Yochanan, holds kishmuel, the Omar Shmuel, halacha kedivrei Mekel be'evel. Shmuel has a rule that when it comes to the rules of Avelus, we follow the lenient opinion. That's a blanket rule when it comes to mourning. Follow the lenient opinion. And we now infer, Ba'avelus hudakilu barabonan, in the realm of mourning, so we have this leniency to follow the lenient opinion, even if it happens to be a yochid. Avol be'alma, but in general, afilu b'derabonon shoni bein yochid b'mokom yochid bein yochid b'mokom rabim. But outside the realm of mourning, even though you're in the realm of rabbinic ruling, a difference is made between a case of a yochid up against a yochid versus a case of a yochid against a rabbim. At this point, then, we finish the long challenge to Rava. Rava, who from his standpoint said, well, in the realm of rabbinic teachings, no distinction should be made between yochid versus yochid and yochid versus rabbim. But from Rav Pop and Rav Mashashi, you see that even in the realm of rabbinic ruling, we do make a distinction. Rav Papa Omar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rav Papa says, Itzdirich, I need the second ruling of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, namely, after telling us that in Eruvin we follow the Mekel, it's important to hear also from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Had I had just the ruling of Halacha Kedivrei Mekel, I would have thought that that's true when it comes to Eruvei Chatzeros. Again, the original statement of Rabbi Shimon Levi was Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel be'Eruvin. Now the term Eruvin includes different kinds of Eruvin. So I would have thought that that's a reference to the realm of joining courtyards together. The halacha of Eruvei Chatzeros we've mentioned many times in previous shurim, so there's no need to elaborate on that. But the general concept behind Eruvei Chatzeros is the joining up of different courtyards so that you can carry from one court, from that means joining up members of a courtyard, or possibly several courtyards, that you can carry from the houses into the courtyard, or from one courtyard to another. Avo Be'eruvei Tchumen Eimolo. But regarding the realm of Eruvei Tchumen, which is a more serious kind of issue, I would have thought we don't follow the Mekel. Tzricha, therefore it's necessary to say halacha like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who dealt with the issue of Tchumen. The person was sleeping, does he have a right to walk 2,000 amas? So by saying halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I see that we follow the Mekel opinion, even in the case of Eruvei Tchumen. Once again, we have a bracketed section. It's quite a bit shorter than the previous one, but the purpose of the brackets is the same purpose as we had in the previous section, to maintain the continuity of answers. After the bracketed section, you can see Rav Ashi says, "It's derichen, I need this. I need the two statements of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi." That having been said, we go to the brackets. Umenot temro deshoni lon bein eruvei chatzerus leeruvei tchumen. From where do you have a basis for saying deshoni means we make a distinction between the eruv of chatzerus versus the eruv of tchumen? So the Gemara answers, there's a basis. Desnan Omar Rabbi Yehuda b'med v'mamurim. When do we say that an eruv is made only with the knowledge of the beneficiary, that in order to set down an eruv for someone else, it would have to be with his knowledge and his approval? When do we say that a person's approval is necessary? Be'eruvei tchumen. That's when it comes to setting down an Eruv Tchum. What does that mean? When you set down an Eruv Tchum, when you put, when you're meniach a tchum for, an Eruv Tchum for someone, you're basically saying that instead of your original ability to walk 2,000 amas east and 2,000 amas west, if I put an Eruv Tchum down in an easterly direction, I am extending the distance you can walk easterly. However, that same amount that you're gaining on the east, you're going to lose on the west. So that if I set your Eruv Tchum 1,000 amas east of where you originally are, westerly, you're going to be, instead of being allowed to walk 2,000 amas west, you'll be allowed to now walk only 1,000 amas west. So if I'm doing this, if I'm setting down an Eruv Tchum for someone else, I had better have his acknowledgement and acceptance, because maybe he wanted to have the option of walking a full 2,000 amas west and not to have this Eruv Tchum laid down for him. So under those circumstances, when you're dealing with Eruv Tchumin, where the beneficiary, so to speak, has what to lose, I had better get his approval. Avo be'eruv e'chatzeros, when it comes to joining up different homeowners with a chotzer, ma'arvin bein ledas bein shelo ledas, I can contribute, let's say, the food that's necessary in creating an eruv chotzerus. I can contribute food on someone else's behalf, another member of the courtyard on his behalf, to join him in the eruv chotzerus. The fee, we have a rule for this. Shezochin la'odom shaloi befonov. We zochin is, you can enable someone to benefit even if he is not present. V'ein chovin la'odom ela befonov. However, you cannot cause a person a loss unless he is present and unless he is aware. So, in the case of the eruv chatzeros, where there is no loss for someone to have an eruv chatzeros made for him, so one can, an eruv chatzeros can be made for someone even without his knowledge. He has nothing to lose by becoming a member of the eruv chatzeros. Masha enkein, as opposed to the case of eruv tchum, where a person, as we is described just before, a person has what to lose. There, you need to have his knowledge. So, if the the question was, from where do we see a distinction? Here you see a distinction between Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tchumen. Rav Ashi Omar, Itzterich, I need the second ruling of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Had I had just the statement of Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Be'eruv, Salka Daita Chamina, Hani Mili B'Shiyurei Eruv. That is only with regard to that which remains from an Eruv, the leftovers. Aval betchilas eruv emolo. When it comes to the amounts necessary for making the initial eruv, so then we wouldn't follow the lenient opinion. Therefore, I have to be told, even with tchilas eruv, the halacha goes like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now, let us take a look at the Rashi, who explains this a little further. Rashi, a few lines up from here, b'shiurei eruv, shiniach eruv b'mokom mishtam elakama shabosis. Imagine a person laid down an eruv, set up an eruv in a guarded place, and the eruv, of course, is food that is set down, and he set it down for a number of weeks, that the same food should serve as his eruv for a number of weeks. V'nismayin ha'oichu mishur shnei sudos. And in the course of time, the amount of food diminished, and it became less than the two meals worth of food necessary for an eruv. Mekilin bei lachshurei. We are lenient and say that it's acceptable. Avol b'machloikis shel tchilas eruv. However, then Rashi goes on, when it comes to a controversy regarding the initial setting up of an eruv, lo nasal boser mekal. We won't follow the opinion of the lenient opinion. The issue that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was addressing was the issue of an initial eruv. So, therefore, we come to tell you that even in laws concerning the initial establishment of an eruv, we follow the lenient opinion. That's what I gain by saying halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Gemara asks, "Umenot Tamra Deshani Lon Bain Shirei Eruv Letchilas Eruv." Now here we have the same type of structure as we had before, but we're not going to bracket off this section because we've seen the final of the series of three answers already. We're not skipping now to see a continuation of that series, but the same style question of what is the basis for thinking a distinction should be made, that question is raised here as well. So from where do we see that you might make a distinction between Shiur Eruv and Tchilas Eruv? Let's read that in the words. Uminot Tema Deshani Lon Bein Shiur Eruv L'Tchilas Eruv. Desnan, we have the following source. Omer Rabbi Yosi Bamed V'Mamurim. When is it that we require a Shiur, a required amount for an Eruv Chatzeris, a required amount of food to be contributed? Betchilas Eruv. That's when it comes to making the original Eruv. Aval Bishuri Eruv. When it comes to the issue of food that's left over after having made a proper Eruv. Afilu Kolshu. Even if a small amount of food, a minuscular amount of food, remains for each one of the contributors. In other words, originally, Each member of the courtyard had to contribute a fixed amount of food, whether it's mazon shtei sudos that would account for the entire contribution, or a fig amount of food for each person. Those are details which we'll Mirtz Hashem learn more about in the Gemara, but there are shiurim for the initial establishment of the Eruv. However, after an Eruv was established and in the course of time it gets diminished, we say it's still okay. V'lo omru l'arev chatzeros ela kedei shelo lishkach toras Eruv minatinoikus. And the whole concept of making an Eruv chatzeros was only to preserve the concept of Eruv for generations. However, the main Eruv, which is not just a conceptual consideration, but an actual halacha, that is Eruv Tchumen. Before we continue with the Gemara, let's glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading. We have noted that this topic lasts until Daf Mem Zayin Omid Beis, indicating a rather long discussion. And we've entitled this Klolei Psika, Rules Concerning Issuing Halachic Rulings. Point one, Eich lahachria b'machloikis tanoyim mesuyomim. How to rule, how to settle, or which opinion to choose when it comes to different machloikis, different tanaic controversies. The Gemara will feature specific names, and according to whom should we rule. And point number two, im klolim elu mikubolim l'chol hadeos. We'll evaluate whether these rules are universally accepted. So now let's begin the Gemara, and shortly we'll take note of additional markings. The Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov v'Rav Zrika Omru. We underline their names. We'll want to make reference to them later on. So they have said, halacha k'rebi Akiva mechavero. That's point one. Point two, Ukaro Ubrosi Mechave Rov, and point three, Ukarebi Mechave Ro. So let's go over these. Point one is that when Rabbi Akiva argues with another colleague, we will follow Rabbi Akiva's ruling. When Rabbi Yossi is party to a controversy, even if he goes up against Chave Rov, this is in the plural, that Rabbi Yossi is a singular opinion versus a majority opinion against him, we will follow Rabbi Yossi. And the third point was we follow Rebbe, that's Rebbe Yehuda Nosi, when he goes up against a singular opinion. So we follow Rebbe. Lemai Hilchisa. The Rashi explains the question of for what do I need to know this? Rashi says, Lemai Hilchisa, the inyan ma nem roshmua zu, sheposku halocha stam b'chol mekoimois. For regarding what is this teaching of Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Zriko stated, that we paskin seemingly automatically like them in all places. Is it Yesh Lismoch Ole Lahoros Halocha Lamaisa? does this mean to say that we follow this rule, we will rely on this rule to issue a formal halachic ruling in accordance with what we just learned? Oy dilmo misvara ba'almo ko amri kein, aval hilchus michlola lo samchinun ale lemelaf. Or is this something that Reb Yankiv or Reb Zika said that misvara means it would appear that we would go like Rabbi Akiva over any other one individual that argues with him, but to actually rule accordingly in a public official ruling fashion, this we wouldn't do. So regarding this particular question, we'll see three approaches. Rav Asi Omar Halacha. That means that the rule that we just learned in the name of Rabbi Yankiv Reb Zrika is a solid rule. That means we will rule like what they said. That if you have a machlokes between Rebbe and someone else, we will rule like Rebbe. That means we rule like that, halacha lemaisa. Rabbi Asi Omar, that is Rabbi Zechiel bar Abba Omar, he's the second opinion, we call him Beis, he says matin. That means that Rabbi Yankiv and Rabbi Zrika weren't telling us that you shall follow this as a formal halachic ruling, but that means that if someone were to approach you on an individual basis, whom to follow, so you would follow, would go according to what they said. Let's take a look at Rashi. Matin, Rabbi Yankiv, Rabbi Zrika, lav halacha mamish paski. They aren't issuing a formal rule in how to paskin halacha, how to rule in halacha. Ela matin, haro acha Rabbi Yosi, v'afil b'mokom rabim. Rather, we would tilt. Matin is like to tilt or veer toward Rabbi Yosi when he is arguing even against a majority viewpoint. The Oroye Marion Le Odom Yochid Lasis Krabiosi. On a private basis, we would tell someone, follow Rabbi Yosi, Aval Midrash Bepirki, Barabim Lo Darshinan, but to issue a formal public ruling like that, we would not do. Now, a third approach, the Gimel, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Omar, Nirin. Rashi says, Nirin Oroy Lo Marinan, we wouldn't teach like that. Vim Osak Rabbi Yosi Lo Mahadrinan Uvda. However, if post facto someone would have followed Rabbi Yosi, even though he is up against a majority opinion, we would say, so be it. That's Nirin. The Gemara continues, Kaloshan Hazeh Omar Rav Yankiv Bar Idi. That means, like that which Rav Yankiv and Rav Rizrika said, Rav Yankiv Bar Idi also said. Now, as far as what is that? Well, it's Rav Yankiv Bar Idi presented the 3 points that we listed here, 1, 2, and 3, like Rav Yankiv and Rav Zrika presented it. However, what do I make of it? So once again, you've got Rav Asi's approach, Rav Chiyo's approach, and Rav Yosi Bar Chanina's approach. Now, as we continue the Gemara, we have new markings. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, you can see that we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. They highlight Rabbi Yochanan, and on the other hand, Rav Misharshia. Cholkim, these will highlight two approaches, Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand versus Rav Misharshia on the other hand. And in order to highlight the controversy, if you will, we used a dot underline under Rabbi Yochanan and a contrasting dot underline under Rav Misharshia. In addition, we have triangles. The triangles are Sidro Shel Kloloi Hoiro Ech Livsoik Bemachloikis Tanoim Mesuyomim, a series of halacha, rules of halacha of how to paskin like different Tanoim, and as that will become self-explanatory. We have in a diamond, we have Klolim Shel Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan presents rules, and that will be highlighted with the two diamonds that you see around Rabbi Yochanan. Later, we'll have to mention the house marking, but that is not immediate. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Huda. Halacha k'Rabbi Huda. when you have a machlokus between these two Tanoim, we will follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Yossi, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. And if you have Rabbi Yehuda going up against Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, by the way, who would overrule Rabbi Meir, he is overruled by Rabbi Yossi. The Ein Sorach Lomar, and it goes without saying, Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yossi, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. That if you see a controversy between these two, that you certainly will follow Rabbi Yossi. Hashta b'mokam Rabbi Yehuda lesa, mind you, in the face of Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Meir's opinion is not accepted. B'mokam Rabbi Yossi mibaya, in the face of a Rabbi Meir controversy against Rabbi Yossi, do I need to tell you that I won't follow Rabbi Meir? That goes without saying, as we just saw. Omar Rabbi Asi, af ani lomeid, I too have a rule. Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Now, Rabbi Shimon is a new name, so that's what Rabbi Asi is adding, that if you have machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we will follow Rabbi Yossi. Now, the Gemara continues with along this line with a long point. So Rabbi Asi says that Rabbi Asi is making a point that I derive this as well, that when you have machlokes, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, we follow Rabbi Yossi. The Omer Rabbi Abba Omer Rabbi Yochanan, another rule of Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbi Shimon, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, you'll follow Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we've seen earlier what the story is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So, he points out, hashta b'mokum Rabbi Yehuda lesa. Mind you, in a case where you've got Rabbi Yehuda going up against Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon is not followed, b'mokum Rabbi Yossi mibaya. This is what Rav Asi's point was, that if you have a machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, I certainly will follow Rabbi Yossi, based on this idea that Rabbi Shimon falls away in the face of Rabbi Yehuda, and we know already that Rabbi Yehuda falls away in the face of Rabbi Yossi, so certainly Rabbi Shimon will fall away in the face of Rabbi Yossi. Ibaya laho, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Shimon mai. Both with regard to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, we've seen them referred to in an isolated fashion, namely Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. We saw Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda. What about the, we'll say, these two that lost to Rabbi Yehuda? What would be if you have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? My teku. So this remains unresolved. Now, it's important for us to note tangentially, or maybe editorially, that reason we passing like one over the other is not necessarily a reflection on the greatness of the individual. There are other reasons for formulating these halachas, and proof to this is that we learned earlier in this Masechta, if I'm not mistaken, back on Daf Yud Gimel, that Rabbi Meir, whom we see here to be in terms of halacha to be a rather weak opinion, as he would lose he would not be followed, we'll say, against Rabbi Yehuda, and certainly not against Rabbi Yossi. But Rabbi Meir was portrayed as someone that was head and shoulders above the rest of his generation. And there, the Gemara had explained, it's for that reason that we don't follow Rabbi Meir, because his reasoning was so deep and unfathomable that people didn't understand what he was saying, and therefore making it difficult to paskin, to rule like someone whose reasoning you don't understand. So, just for the record, we're saying that these rules of psak don't necessarily reflect on the greatness of the individual, but there are other considerations. We continue in the Gemara, Omer of Misharshia, Lesnehu Lahani Kloli. Now he makes we'll call it a profound statement, that we do not hold from these rules. So whereas on the one hand Rabbi Yochanan was presenting us with rules of psak, Rav Misharshia is saying we don't hold from these rules. Menor leilu Rav Misharshia ha, from where does he know that? So here we have a starred comment on the side. We say she'elo zu ma'asiko es ha-gemora ad mem zayenom et beis. This question, from where does Rav Misharshia know to say that, is something that will preoccupy the Gemara for quite a long time. It will go all the way till daf mem zayin omid beis. So that in the context of our Daf Yomi Shir, we're only going to start the topic, start the investigation, but not come to a conclusion until Mirtz Hashem, the next Shi'ur. So another marking that will appear and be very prominent in this sukkah is the use of the houses that appear in two different directions, and with the house facing, with the point facing up, that will represent a basis for Rav Misharshia's comment. Namely, we'll try to show you how we don't regard the rules. In other words, we'll show you, rulings contrary to the rules we learned. But the Gemara will also have an inverted house each time, indicating what we say udechiyasa, the dismissal of what we thought was a basis. So this structure is going to go back and forth, and very, as I said, very long, quite a long way. You can, if you have in front of you the relevant dapim, namely our daf plus mem zayin omet aleph, you can scan down mem zayin aleph, follow each time. You'll see we also have a numbering scheme in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara at each point that the number appears. So on that line will be a new attempt to show where Rav Misharshia got his idea. And as you go along, you'll see before the next new number appears, an inverted house where the Gemara rejects whatever is being suggested. This goes and goes till you get to the bottom of Mem Zayin Aleph. There will be a number 6, and then the Gemara will continue after that with a point concerning this at the top of Mem Zayin Omid Beis as well. So let us start the discussion. Rav's name will appear as we go on with a special geometric form. It might look like a tooth, or what we might refer to in other sections, an inverted crown. Whatever the case is, it's a geometric shape that we're using to highlight Rav's opinion as we go through the sugya. The Gemara. E lema meha. In response to the question of from where does Rav Misharshia know what he says, now, if you say it's from the following, we're going to show you now a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Shimon appears. The Gemara will point out that there is a dissenting opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda. And yet, we will be paskening like Rabbi Shimon in the upcoming discussion. So this will show that even though the rule was set above, when you have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, you follow Rabbi Yehuda, here we end up following Rabbi Shimon. So let's see the case. So, ilemo mehal disnan, if you say that the basis of Rabbi Misharshia is from the following, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lemaha dover deme, we spoke about this back on the Mishnah, and daf mem hei omit beis, regarding three people whose we'll call their tum overlaps. We have two of three people where a middle person and his realm of four amos overlaps with a person to his right, and his realm of four amos overlaps with the person to his left. And Rabbi Shimon said, "Lama adover deima, what is that compared to? Legimul chatzeros apsucha zulazu upsuchas lirshus harabim, where you have three courtyards that have an entrance one to the other, and they also have each one has its respective entrance to a public thoroughfare. Irvu shtayim hachitzonis imu emtsoyis, in the event that the two outer chatzeros made an eruv, a joint ownership with the middle chatzer. That means that the extreme right-hand chatzer joined together with the middle chatzer in a food contribution, and the middle people made an eruv together with the left extreme chatzer. So the rule is he muteros imohem, vehein mutaros imo. The middle chatzer is mutter to carry back and forth to the extreme chatzeros, and they can carry into the middle chatzer. Ushtaim hachitzoinus asuros zu imzu. However, the the two extreme outer chatzeres cannot carry from one to the other. There is a brisa that in which we see a dissenting opinion to Rabbi Shimon and holds that all three chatzeros are usur, cannot carry from one to the other, in view of the fact that they did not all join together. The Omar Rav Chamo Bar Gurya, Omar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. We see that we rule like Rabbi Shimon, a more lenient approach. Uman Polig Olei, and who argues with Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda. It happens to be Rabbi Yehuda that argues. The whole Amris, but did you not say, was it not said earlier, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that when you have a machlokus between those two Tanoim, you follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and yet here we see we follow Rabbi Shimon, Elolav, Shmami, no, less Nahu. So this is what we are attempting to show, that we do not hold from the rules that we said above, the rules that we said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan above. The Gemara says, Umay Kushyo, how do you see this as a challenge to the rules? Dilma, it might very well be, Hecho di Itmar Itmar, where a ruling is said explicitly to follow, let's say in this case, Rabbi Shimon, so then we follow Rabbi Shimon. Hecho de lo Itmar, lo Itmar. However, if you have a machlokis where no final ruling was stated explicitly, so then you fall back on the rule. So in this case, we have an explicit statement by Rav to follow Rabbi Shimon. In the event that you have a machlokis without a formal ruling, so then we would fall back on the rule. Now this answer of Dilmo Hechot Itmar Itmar, Hechot Itmar Lo Itmar, at the risk of spoiling the fun, we will tell you ahead of time that this answer repeats itself. Namely, in each section of the Gemara, we're going to be presenting a machlokes tanoim with these names, these familiar names of tanoim, and we will see Rav paskening like the one that we should have rejected, and each time trying to say this is the basis of Rav Mesharshia's skepticism, and each time the Gemara will give you the same answer. Of Dilma Hechod Itmar Itmar Hechod Lo Itmar Lo Itmar. This answer, as we say, will repeat itself a couple of times. There are other approaches in the rejection scheme that will be seen as we go on. But as far as we are concerned, we're pointing out that there's a certain type of rhythm and repetition to the structure of this sugya. So we continue with attempt number two. Elo meha, rather from here, Rav Mesharshia got his idea that we don't follow the rule. Disnan, ir shel yochid v'nasa shel rabim. This describes a city that was once owned by an individual, and in the course of time, maybe he sold it to the public, but it became a public city. Me'arvin es kula. The city can be joined together as one unit, one eruv, joining the whole city together. Shel rabbe v'nasis shel yochid, a city that began as a public type city and then was purchased or taken over by an individual. So ein ma'arvin es kula, elo im kein oise chutza lo ki ir chadosha sheb Yehuda, sheyesh bo chamishim diurin. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Unless, you know, as you can, a case like that where it was originally a public city and then it became owned by an individual, so you can't join the entire city together. What you're allowed to do is to join the different city together, provided you leave a section of the city of 50 apartments or 50 houses not included in the Eruv, that 50 being like Ir Chadosha. Ir Chadosha, the Meforshim explain, is the name of a city that was in Yehuda, in the Yehuda region, that happened to have 50 dwellings. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and we should point out, we should have maybe mentioned this earlier, but along the way, there are numerous Tanaic sources quoted. These sources are primarily from Mishnayos that you see later. A number of these sources, we should say, are sources seen later in the Masechta, so that if you have questions about details, so many of them will be dealt with later in the Masechta. We continue. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Chatzeros Shel Shnei Botim. Rabbi Shimon says that what you have to do is, it's enough that you leave out of the Eruv three courtyards, each courtyard having two houses opening into it. The Omer of Chama Bar Gurya Omer Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. Here we're at the top of Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, and you see Rav again, using the same marking to highlight his name, he rules like Rabbi Shimon. Uman Polig Olei, and who is arguing? Here it's explicit in the source. You can see Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on Rabbi Shimon. Avaho Amris, did we not say in the rules Rabbi Yehuda for Rabbi Shimon, Halachik Rabbi Yehuda, when you have a machloikis between the two, we will follow Rabbi Yehuda. And here we see we're following Rabbi Shimon, giving basis for Rav Mesharshia's point that we don't follow the rules of Psak that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned. Once again, the Gemara says, Umay Kushya, how do you see this as a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan? Dilma Hecha, Dilma Hochanami, maybe here too, Hecha de Itmar Itmar, Hecha de Lo Itmar Lo Itmar, where it was stated to follow Rabbi Shimon explicitly, right, like Rav does over here. So we follow Rabbi Shimon, even though it's up against Rabbi Yehuda. As far as Rabbi Yochanan's rule is concerned, that is true where no specific halachic ruling was said. So, from here, we don't see a basis for Rav Mesharshia's dismissal of Rabbi Yochanan's principles. Before we conclude our shir, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. As we mentioned earlier, this sugya continues, trying to find the basis of Rav Mesharshia's dismissal of Rabbi Yochanan's rule. But in the context of our Daf Yomi Gemara marking shiur, this is a convenient place to pause. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.